I live through him. I'm alive. Sin is gone. I've been freed from sin. I could show you that phrase over and over and over in the Bible. And yet we preach the gospel and keep a sin consciousness intact. And we're trying to live better lives. Are you kidding me? We're learning to be sons. We're already perfected. We're not waking up trying to live the Christian life. We're waking up being sons, redeemed, forgiven. Thank you, Father. What a good day to be alive. The blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat speaking on my behalf. And all you see is my value, my potential, and my destiny. And because your grace is in my life, surely it shall be fulfilled. Because I believe your gospel, not what people say, not what I feel and think sometimes, not what I hear in my head at times, but from my heart, I know your word is true. And I'm right in your sight. And it's amazing to be alive in you. That ought to be our prayer lives. Not a needs list a mile long that makes us conscious of maybe God doesn't hear me, doesn't he love me? I wonder where God is. Why does all this trouble? Why does everything have to happen to me? What's wrong with my faith? Nothing is wrong. Your perspective. It's not all about you. It's about you becoming like it. You know what we do? We equate our ability to commit sin or fall short to our identity. When your identity is in Christ and you let that build, and it begins to change your ability to sin. You're not damned and destined to get up and sin in the morning. I don't preach this much, and it's, you know, I got the video running, and I'm just past this thing now. I'm just going to let this thing out like it is. I don't even remember the last time that I felt convicted to repent of a flesh moral sin. I don't even remember. I know people think that's blasphemy because you say, hey, if you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar. You're deceived. And here's what he's saying. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and make God a liar. What's he saying? If you say you have no need for the blood. If you say you have not sinned. We take that one scripture out of context and give ourselves the permission to maintain a sin identity and consciousness. In fact, you got to go there real quick because this got to get blown out of the water. Do you want to blow this out of the water with me? Who can honestly, without hyping this, who can say you're absolutely tired of a sin conscious? You realize it hasn't produced life in our lives, right? So let's crush this thing. What do you say we go for it and let's blow this cow up? We don't even want to eat the steak from it, man. This cow isn't even edible. This thing, we're just going to kill it. Watch this. Verse 5, 1 John 1. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Where's he live?
Light.
Where's God live, though?
Oh,
so in me is light, and there's no darkness at all. You can't sell me this dual nature thing and all this stuff. I'm one in Christ. He's not schizophrenic, and he's not split personality. He's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what we have? We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how much sin?
All
sin. He's telling you you've become righteous. You're in the light as he's in the light. You're seen as a son as he's seen in a son. Two have become one. You're right in the sight of Father. Watch. If we say we have no sin, that's a self-righteous, self-sufficient man that says he can work his way to God, that he's a good man. He doesn't need the blood of Jesus. He's not guilty of sin. He says, I haven't sinned. I don't need the blood to cleanse me because I haven't sinned. That's all he's saying. You'll see this. If we confess our sins, see, here's the man that says, well, I have no sin. Paul says, that's deception. But if you confess, you have sinned. That's your born again experience. You say, I have sinned. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? Oh, watch. If we say we have not sinned, he's nailing it again because he wants no one in denial, no one in deception. He wants everybody humble and coming clean and repentant, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If we say we have not sinned, have not sinned. Do you hear what he's saying? If you say you have no need for the blood and you have not sinned, watch. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. So he's preaching righteousness, forgiveness of sins, free from the conscience of sin. And he's saying, if you say you don't need this mercy and you don't need this new identity, then you're already deceived. Watch. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not. See, we don't read in context. We pull a statement out, and when somebody's preaching truth, we don't realize how we've been deceived into pulling things out of context and actually combating truth and the real thing the Bible's saying. So when you start preaching and walking free from the convictions of sin and things like that, people go, oh my God, that's heresy. Oh my God, that's blasphemy. Everybody sins. We sin by noon. Oh my God, we wake up sinning. The Bible says you're slave to righteousness and its fruit is holiness. If I don't leave these double doors afraid of sinning, but I leave righteous as a son, guess what I'll live like? Righteous as a son. And along the way, if I trip into flesh or human weakness, I run to Papa and jump on his lap because I know it's not who he is in me and me in him. And he holds me there and makes me wiser, sharper, and smarter. And he breathes over me and cleanses me through the blood of Jesus. And I know him all the more and his love all the more. And I'm ready to roll all the more. Come on. You don't mope around for 3 days and lose your identity and call 14 people and put yourself down. And I can't believe I did this after 2 years. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I got a devil inside. Maybe I need deliverance. Maybe I wasn't sincere in the first place. Oh! I write these things so you do not sin. Can John possibly, 3 verses before, saying, look, you're always going to sin, you're damned to sin, and if you say you're not sinning, you're lying. And then 3 verses later say, now look, I'm writing this so you don't sin, but you always are gonna. I'm writing this so you don't sin, little children, but you're always gonna. Watch. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
It's so quiet, I'm wondering if you're getting this. Because you're getting it? Good. Watch this, chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if, not when.
Oh, you ought to read your Bible.
And if, not when. And if anyone sins. Are you saying you're perfect, Dan? I never said that at all. I said the gospel's purified my heart and I'm not thinking sin, I'm thinking righteousness. And it's actually a rare day that I have a conviction of a flesh sin. Jealousy is not in my heart. Pride's not in my heart anymore. The heart's been transformed. Lust is not an issue. Self-serving died, so sin's like really in trouble. Because the root of all sin is self. We're afraid to preach this way. There's so many lies that we've embraced. There's so many partial truths that we've pulled out of context. How can I be freed from sin if he didn't destroy the power of it? Romans 6 says again and again, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. It says, I live by the Spirit, not the flesh. Don't be afraid to see yourself by the Spirit. Romans 6 talks about the accomplished work of Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. Romans 7 talks about a man still living under the law, under the carnal nature, under flesh. He's damned. He's doomed. The things he wants to do, he can't. Romans 8 talks about not being condemned because you live by grace, by spirit, and not by flesh. And if you live by flesh, it's death. But if by the spirit, life and peace. It says we aren't those that live by the flesh, for we're in the spirit. Stop finding permission for a sin nature and a sin expression through Romans 7 without reading 6 and 8 as one big book. They're not chapters, it's one straight letter. You can read, because the first verse of 7 says, or don't you know? And verse 8 says, therefore, chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, that means it's one big letter. It's one progressive writing. You read 6, 7, and 8 in concession, and you'll get such an amazing, clear understanding of what I'm saying. You've been freed from sin. Because you live by the Spirit. You're spirit conscious. You're not fighting the flesh. That war is over. You see, you have a brother, the flesh and the spirit are warring together. Not once you grow up in certain things in God, that flesh thing is over. I'm not warring in the, I don't wake up and say, down boy, knock it off, get in line. Flesh, you're a detriment to me. Come on. You believe that stuff, you'll have an excuse to remain in it. You say, yeah, but our spirit's willing, our flesh is weak. He was talking about a man apart from prayer. Pray. Watch and pray. Because your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. Which means if you don't pray, you'll live by the weakness of your flesh. But if you pray, you'll live out of the strength of your spirit. We take one little phrase, flesh is weak, and we make that a doctrine. And then it gives us permission to live less than the gospel. Right. Come on, we do it all the time. Get in the book for yourself.
Right.
That's a good word, friends. Get in the book for yourself and read in context and find what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Colossians chapter 3, if you have a Bible, I want you to watch along. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
This is amazing. It's hard not to preach some of this stuff, but this one is so powerful, it just speaks. I am going to pre-phrase this so, because this is important and I'm not being silly, so just hear me serious. Halfway through this, you're going to hear put off these things, anger and all this stuff. How can you do that without getting into works? You separate it from your identity. You don't try to stop being angry. You see yourself apart from anger and immersed in the love of God. And in your secret place of prayer, you thank God your nature's changed. You're not angry because you're changed in the way you see life and see people. And God, you're making your heart one with mine. And what I see is what you see. And I thank you. I'm no longer driven by anger, fear, strife, stress, frustration. I am free because of your spirit in me. That's how you put it off, by putting it out of your identity and wearing Christ. You ready to read? This is so powerful. This is going to be so convicting. And then we're going to pray, okay? Together. And then I'll release you to pray for the sick. If then, it's not challenging your salvation. It means since, okay? You ready? Since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Because of these things, put to death your members on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. It's all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon sons of disobedience, in which every one of you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, even filthy language out of your mouths. Don't lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcision, assized, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, because of these things, as the elect of God, oh, listen, children, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do. But above all these things, beloved, put on love. It is the bond of perfection. The Bible says you're cleansed of your sins. Yay.